It's always important on both sides to view things from the proper Torah perspective, which is not necessarily the normal human reaction to what our events that we see happens around us. And there's two very simple examples, very important examples in this week's Parsha. First, it talks about, we know, at the beginning of the Parsha, where Yaakov Avinu called in his son Yosef to please make sure he gets buried. He brings him up to Eretz Canaan, Eretz Israel, to bury him. They asked him to please swear and agree to it and swear. And Yosef agreed. Anochi asechit vorecha. Ayomri shavali, he says, swear to me. Vayishavalo v'ishtach Yisrael rosh hamita. And he bowed down. After he took the shvuah, he bowed down. Rashi, as Omsha, Rashi says, rosh hamita, why did he bow down? He wanted to bow towards the Shechina. He said, Shechina's up there. Because he was very happy that his mita was complete. There's no Risham. All his children were Bnei Torah, Salad, Tzadikim, Tamil Chamim. So he was very thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was very special. Okay, makes a lot of sense. As we mentioned this morning, but he was very thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not so much could be expected, right, necessarily. When someone has children, in spite of all the hardships and travails and challenges and the sorrows that a child faces, nevertheless, he comes out and remains being a tzaddik, so that's something special. Thank you, Hashem. He bowed down. That's Rashi. The Sforno is a little interesting. The Sforno is a little different. The Sforno says, he shavah, he swear to me. Why? What was the reason why he wanted Yosef to swear? Laman yilcha pischon peh, negdam, imyutsu limchos. Very simple. He wanted to arm Yosef with an arsenal of a good taina, as he realized that potentially, as Yosef was only second in command, not first in command, he wasn't the king, so Yosef had to get permission from Paro to go and bury his father in Eretz Canaan and take his own whole entourage with him, make a big tumult in Mitzrayim or Eretz Israel. It wouldn't be so simple. So he would go ahead and he might give him a hard time. So he wanted to give. He wanted to make sure Yosef swears that. Therefore, Yosef can come and say, listen, you know, I can't. I'm not a liar. I swore to my father on his deathbed. Please, you have to let me go. It'll give an added koach to Yosef when he ties this to Paro. All the people that want to go say no. And, you know, but so therefore, Yosef would need a greater weapon, stronger tainus and stronger defense as to why he has to go. He says, please swear because of that. Obviously, you see from this Sforno, I guess it's pretty pashut also, I assume, that Yaakov was not concerned that Yosef would not want to do it. It's not that I want to make sure Yosef wants to do it and he has to swear and therefore promise me. A normal shvua is to make sure he's going to do it. You know, swear to me. If you don't do it, you don't want to be over on a shvua, right? To motivate him to make sure he does it. Says the Sforno, it's not the reason. Because obviously, Yaakov knew Yosef is the dear beloved son who gave him all his Torah. All the Torah learned from Shane Avery gave over to Yosef. Yosef was his, I guess you call it, the favorite son all the years, was so close to him. Of course, Yosef did whatever he can do. Yosef does not need a shvur to be motivated. He needed a shvur just for one reason, to help out, to go. But of course, Yosef himself wants to do it. If I care, he welcomes the shvur. He's happy to have a shvur because that way he can have a better taina. Because he wants to mekayim his father's last wish, right? Last will and testimony, and he wants to do it. So of course Yosef is excited to swear because now he can go ahead and have better time to Paro. So as far as it says, it's only because for that reason. That's the reason why. Vayishtachu Yisrael. So what happens after he swears? Yisrael bows down. Lehodos Lekono. Thank Hashem Baruch Hu al Shechinano lahasig zem eis beno. He was so nice to him. Hashem was so nice to Yaakov Avinu, because he got this result from his son, that now his son, you know, agreed to it and swore. And Baruch Hashem, thank you so much. It was such a nice thing you did to me. You gave me that you enabled that Yosef, my dear son, would agree and swear to it. I both say it's a little mudder. And he brings an example. Ka'inyan vayik ha-shashoma ever Avram es-devrayim. Ha-yishnach arzah Hashem. Right, that's by where Eliezer went to find a wife for Yitzchak, and he found Rivka, told him the whole deal, we should go right away, this whole business, right? And they agreed. Oh, so Baruch Hashem, Gevaldik, so Yitzchak is very happy. because he wasn't sure what's going to be. You know, Lavan could easily go ahead. Lavan and Besuah could easily go ahead and say no. They don't want their daughter to go away. And it's not a good shidduch. But so he says, thank you, Hashem, for enabling this special deal. I made a big million-dollar deal, which wasn't necessarily expected. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In this case, that makes sense over there. In this case, we are both say it's a little madda. I mean, everyone knew Yaakov, and that's what Sforno is telling us. Yaakov expected his son, Al Piderach HaTeva, to grow up, of course, agree. Yosef would want to do it. It's his own best interest to do it. There's no suffix in Yaakov's mind that Yosef would agree and take a shvuah because it's helping Yosef. And Yosef's motivated. He wants to help his father and listen to his father's last dying wish. And of course he'll do it. Of course he'll say yes. So he says, Hashem, thank you, Hashem. I don't know. If I go ahead and, what's a good example? I go into the dining room and I see, okay, there's two examples, right? A guy goes to the dining room and sees, you know, some macaroni and cheese and who knows, and some salad and some tuna fish. Okay, that's expected. They'll say, well, thank you, Hashem, for this tuna fish, right? Nobody would say that around here, right? Maybe if you have a steak which is unexpected, all of a sudden, oh, I have a special delicious steak tonight. Ah, thank you, Hashem, it's unexpected. Whatever is normally expected, and of course, you know, it comes from Hashem, but the special hishtachava, special thank you, Hashem, where's the special thanks coming from all of a sudden? Thank you, Hashem. It's derech hateva. It normally happens. But when you go home and your mother does the laundry, of course you appreciate it, but it's not the Vaishtachel or Yaakov bow down, such an extreme example, such a clear example of Akar Stokes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the need for? Why is he all of a sudden so motivated? Both say, it seems, I think Pshat is, which is, I don't know if it's a Chiddush, I think it's a nice Chiddush, but a perspective that from Yaakovina's perspective, nothing is taken for granted. Okay, things happen every single day, and it's predictable, and it's going to happen. And of course, Yosef would say yes. Of course, he'll swear. But it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's manipulations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes everything work out that it should be derech hateva. That it's not derech hateva. It's natural. It's not a normal thing. You know, maybe the yeshiva is special. Too, I don't know exactly. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's things, so that is. There's no derech hateva. There's no such thing as nature. There's no such thing as, well, this is normal. So I have to thank Hashem especially. It's not true. The most simplest thing that happens in the world, the most predictable and expected result to happen when it happens, well, Baruch Hashem, it happened. Because Hashem worked everything out beforehand to make sure to make it derech hateva. It's not that, you know, there's no difference, nace and not nace. It's all the same on both sides. It's the same exact thing. A person has to recognize you can't take, Hashem owes us zero, okay? He doesn't owe us good health, he doesn't owe us long life, he doesn't owe us parnasa, or whatever it might be, or a nice family environment. Nothing is owed to us on both sides. So whatever happens, as simple as it might be, and as expected as it could be, expected as it is, it's important to both sides that we should be machshav and recognize that this is Yad Hashem deserves, it's imperative upon me, it's incumbent upon me to say, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you, Hashem, not to take it for granted. The next Chazal, both the Pasuk talks about after they came back from burying their father, Yaakov, they came back. They realized the father's dead now, he's not around to protect him, so to speak. Vayomru, who is the man of Yosef? He might get back at us, he might be upset at us. They were concerned that you know, Yosef might be very upset from what happened years ago. And many, many years ago, obviously. And he would hurt us. Hashem Yashua Es Kolaroa, Shugamanu also. They made up a whole story of Yichasiva, and they made up a story. They lied for Shalom, or for, I guess, I don't know, Pikuch Nefesh, I'm not sure it was that level. But you know, Yichasiva, your father commanded that you shouldn't hurt us and bemochel us. And Yosef started crying. And he gave a whole speech. He says, he gives him a whole ashkafish here, right? Ki asachas el kavani. What am I? I'm Hashem's, I can't do anything. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all their master plan. Right? It's like the famous Chazal, the Chinuch, whatever they say, that whatever happens to you happens, that's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't hurt someone. It's not beyond to hurt someone. If someone hurts me or if I hurt someone else, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not me. So Yos told him basic ashkafish. So listen, what do you want? You know, I can't hurt you. It's all beyond Hashem, and it was easy to see in this situation. The whole master plan to get down to Mitzrayim because of the Rav, it was all planned by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he told him very nicely, "Don't get nervous." Says the Medrash Rabbah Abosai, "What happened over here? Why did they get nervous? they weren't just damn, it seems like they weren't just damn nervous because, you know, okay, the father's dead now, and Yosef might be upset. No, they weren't so concerned. There was a trigger. Something happened to cause this concern. It wasn't just damn they thought. No, they wouldn't have thought so because, listen, they saw. They've been living with Yosef for many years now. Can't make the decision. How many years was it since they came down? How many years? I forgot. Didn't think about it. But there was many years since they came down. Since they came down to Mitzrayim, they got together. I think it was 17 years. I think, right? From 130 to 147 of Yaakov's age, right? I think it was 17 years since they came down. So the last 17 years, they lived together in peace and harmony, and they celebrated together, they ate together, everything very peaceful. They were used to very nice, calm, serene treatment from Yosef. So nothing would have happened, nothing would have changed, except for one thing. One thing happened. Says the Medrash, what happened? Rabbi Levi Amar, why did they get nervous? Why were they vayiru? Why were they afraid? Shlo zimna l'suda. He didn't invite them to the meal. They used to always eat by Yosef. Now they weren't invited anymore. Stay home, don't bother me, right? There was no invitation forthcoming. Amrav Tanchuma. So what happened? Why did this happen? Amrav Tanchuma, who on the skaven el Hashem Shemayim. It wasn't because he didn't like them. It was a very simple cheshbon he had. Hashem Shemayim. Omar, Lushaavar Abba Moshevri Ramala Mihuda. Shu Melech. Initially, we used to all sit together with the Abba, with the Tati, with the father, with Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov, I guess, was the one in charge. He used to decide who sits where. So he put me at the head of the table. Ah, Yehuda's the Melech. But I guess I'm the local one. I don't know. But he felt it's his house, whatever. Yosef sits at the head. Ulamal Meruven, and above, in a higher level than Ruven also. Shu Bechor, he's the Bechor. But that was what Yaakov did. Fine. The Achshav. But now it's not appropriate, right? It's not clear why, but I assume because it's not right for me to put myself in front of everybody else. So Yaakov, the father, can do it, but I can't do it. He felt he was stuck. If I invite him, I'm going to have trouble. What am I going to do? I guess he deserves to be in the front because he's a melech, but he can't do it. Else hanivus. So that's the pshat. So he had a quandary. What do I do? What did he do? He says, okay, shev al tas, I'm not going to invite them. Otherwise, I'll have trouble. There'll be a big machokas. I can't do anything about it. So therefore, the best thing is to do, don't invite them, fine. Behen Lomru came, but they misinterpreted. They thought, you know, he's out to get us. You know, until then, they were fine. Everything was fine and calm. But all of a sudden, they see, hey, something happened over here. I see Yosef's not himself anymore. We're not being invited to his house. He doesn't like us. He's probably angry at us. What's going on? We have to give him a whole speech and make up a whole story. So the Rishiva asked, this is like wild. Let's bring it down to our level, Rabosei. Let's say, instead of being Yosef, it was Ramosha Feinstein. Ramosha Feinstein, all his brothers, same exact story, let's say, just to be able to imagine what's going on over here. Ramosha Feinstein, you know, the father, I think, of David Feinstein, was his father, Ramosha Ben David, right? His father was Nifter, and he has his brothers, Ramosha's brothers, I don't know if he had any, but whatever, right? He has the whole situation, and the brothers see Ramosha's not inviting us anymore. What would they say? You know, he really doesn't like us. So there was this maestro which happened X amount of years ago. And even though we know that, Rashi brings that Yaakov was not chosh to them. There was no chash, right? That's what Rashi brings. Yaakov was not chosh to them. So Yaakov was not chosh to them. And they themselves saw that for the last 17 years, since they got back together, there was no, treat us royally, beautifully. I'm sure they would have noticed that there was something lacking in the treatment by Yosef to the brothers. They would have seen there was nothing. They saw nothing, zero. Everything was treated properly. And Yosef was a tremendous tzaddik. So if Moshe finds him decides, okay, he's not inviting us anymore. What would you say? He hates, doesn't like us. He wants to kill us because of what happened so many years ago. In spite of all the evidence, if I cared, I would say obviously there's a good cheshem. They'll probably figure it out that there's a seating problem. There's some. They'll be down obstacles figured out. And go ahead and not invite us for that reason. They won't be upset at him. I know Ramosha. I know Ramosha is the God of Ador. Yosef was the God of Ador, one of the Gadol Ador. Of course, he's a good guy, and he's there's no reason to suspect. I'll figure it out. And they can figure it out. And there was a story over here. It wasn't too hard. It wasn't rocket science to figure out. You know, there'll be a problem with the seating. You know, who the mouth. They were smart people. They were smart politicians. They realized that, you know, not everything's so simple where you sit, and there's covet issues involved, you know. So why didn't they go ahead and realize and figure out what the real reason was? Mitzad Yosef, he should have realized that they might misinterpret. So if I was Yosef, I would go and say, Rabosei, I want to explain to you what's going on. There's a problem over here. I have an issue with Malchus and and Bechor and the Melech and Mitzrayim, I don't know what to do, so I can't invite you guys because it's problems. He should have told them, should have told them what's going on. Why did, it seems everybody misunderstood everybody else. These are Gedolim. How could they misunderstand so miserably? It's so simple over here that Yosef is a great guy. No indication, no evidence to negative. And something's doing in a good way. You know, so it's not a bad reason. And he should have realized that, you know, it's not so pushy, maybe, right? I mean, like, why? And obviously it wasn't so pushy, but what's going on? So Rav Shiva explained to both side that this is, I think Rav Yisrael talks about it a lot, but Pshat is both side. There's always that conflict, that dichotomy. How one looks at himself and how one looks at someone else. We always know, let's say, in terms of mush, in terms of, let's say, gashmius, you know? I'm supposed to care for his gashmius, for his satisfaction, his comfort, but not for my own. My own, I don't need anything. I don't need steak, I don't need this, I'll take good stuff. But my chaver, ooh, I want to mechabit him, give him the best because he needs the most. Some other side, it's almost like a stira. Yes or no, should a person have a lot or no? No, but I mechabit him, I give him whatever he needs. I imagine he needs the best. Myself, I need nothing. The brothers, these Gedolim Rabbos, were just like that. The brothers, they focused so much on, they were Dan, someone else with Kavzchus all the time, but they focused on their own potential, on their own weaknesses. They knew they did something wrong many, many years ago. And they were so much bothered by it. They highlighted, they focused on it that, you know, we have to tshuva, we have to tshuva, we feel bad, and they did feel bad, that charata, and they did tshuva, whatever, but they still felt, we did such a terrible thing, something like that. I don't care who the guy is, but, you know, if you focus so much that I'm such a bad guy, so to speak, and I deserve a terrible punishment, you know, they see what's happening, obviously, Yosef's got to get us, because we're such bad guys. I don't mean bad, but the chesaron was bogged so much, and what they did was so such a big avla from their own perspective that they saw it as being like, you know, we deserve it. It's normal for him to go ahead. I have no kindness to him if he goes ahead and acts this way for us because we're deserving of it. Yosef, on the other hand, saw tzaddikim in front of him. They were tzaddikim. He never thought they'll misinterpret. Of course, these guys are great guys. They'll never be dami kavcho, they'll be dami kavzchus. So therefore, Yosef thought, there's nothing to explain, no need to talk about it because these guys are great guys. They'll never make a mistake like that. And Yaakov, the brothers on the other hand, said, of course he's going to be out to get us because, you know, we did such terrible avla, you know, many, many years ago. Was it 22 and 17, right? 39 years ago? Such terrible avla. So, of course, he's probably out to get us. Well, so that's how a person, I both say, this just shows that it's that split personality. And when it comes to yourself, you focus on your chesronos potentially, obviously not to get depressed, not the real focus, but if a good guy could, I want to perfect myself, I see I'm lacking asmud, I'm lacking midos, I'm lacking gaiva, whatever, kas, when I see someone else on both sides, we don't focus on someone else's chesronos, you know. He's this, he's that. Some people do that, but it's against the doctors, against hashgaf on both sides. He's a wonderful person, he's a tzaddik, he's a great person, he's unbelievable, he's this, he's that. I'm not going to focus on that. It's not denial, but it's just a focus on his goodness and a focus on my areas that require hashlom. I have to perfect myself in those areas. That, Rabbos, is so crucial to being the balanced Ben Torah. It's not a stira, Rabbos, it's appropriate. Focus on someone else's good points. The Haftar HaChemocha demands that, right? How are you supposed to love someone? He has so many chesronos. He's such a nerd, such a nutcase, such a crazy guy, such a selfish balgaiva. Nobody's also good about this, good about this. So I love him because of that. On the other hand, me, I think I should rest on my laurels. I have this chesron, this chesron, that chesron. I have so many good things, but the focus is not to be intellectually dishonest, but to focus on the fact that I have to work on myself, be mashal myself, that's my job. And to see myself as a Eved Hashem who has to focus and work on his chesronos. Hatzlacha Rabbah.